This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, as we always are Fridays, until the Eagles season begins. Baseball is back. You can watch all the action at Chickies and Pete's this season. Find a location near you at ChickiesandPete's.com. Or if you're going to the game, you stop to Chickies here before, which we see a lot of red out there. Todd McShay of the Todd McShay Show at The Ringer will join us shortly to talk. Oh, there he is. Wow, look at that. Todd McShay. Todd McShay Show is on YouTube and Spotify. You can also subscribe to the McShay Report. Appreciate your time today, Todd.
How's it going, man?
We're good, man. We're good. Before we get into the draft specifically, there have been a couple of rumors over the last couple of days about the Eagles potentially trading up to 4 by using A.J. Brown if Abdul Carter was there. Just, I guess, your general top-line thoughts of that.
I mean, there's so many rumors right now, to be honest. I just, you never know, and Howie's creative, and certainly he will, you know, there's no stone left unturned, but I also, it seems extreme. So, we'll see how it all plays out, but I think, you know, I hear so many things now this time of year, talking to general managers and kind of people around the league, and I think there's a lot of conversations going on, but I don't know that everything's backed in something that's truly going to wind up happening.
For sure.
What Todd, when you're thinking about still on this hypothetical trade situation here, I'm just thinking about the cost to move up from 32 to 4. The biggest jump I can remember is I think the Chiefs went from 27 to 10. Well, I think when they went
that cost them, if I remember, what was that? It was a third rounder that year. Plus the following year, but was it 2 firsts? I can't remember, but I think it was 1 first, right?
Well, they swapped the picks. They swapped the first round picks, right?
Yeah.
And then it was one more the following year, and you're right, I think it was a third round pick.
Yeah, it was an additional third that year and then a one the next year. But, you know, the trade chart is obviously dated. If you go and study kind of recent years and kind of take a look, when you get up into the top 8, 9, like the price points are a lot different. You know, it's like 1 through 8, 1 through 9, somewhere in that range. When you get to 10 and beyond, it's not quite as unreasonable. You get down to 15, it's a lot different from moving up to like 27 to 15. Or let's say I was looking at the Giants, right? If they wanted to make a move from 34 to 15 this year, and it would probably cost them a third rounder this year and a 2 next year, okay? But if they were to try to move up into the top 10, it would be a third rounder this year, a first next year, and maybe some change, like a fourth or fifth next year as well. So there's a huge difference when you start talking about getting in that, like, top 5 range.
Todd McShay with us to talk about the draft and the Eagles. It seems like, you know, you get to this point, and I'm looking at everybody's mocks and everybody's top 100, and it seems like out of the top few guys, there's less consensus that I remember. You know, we've talked about a bunch of different players here, and I'll see one guy have him at 10 and one guy have him at 28. Does there seem like there is less consensus this year than previous years?
It's a good question. Here's the deal, right? I think just about everyone in the league has the same, let's say six, about the same six guys, and then Cam Ward would be in that mix to make it seven. That's Travis Hunter from Colorado, Abdul Carter, the edge rusher, Penn State, Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan, Ashton Jeanty, running back from Boise State, and then Tyler Warren, for a lot of teams, would be up there in that, whether it's a top tier or top two tiers, however you want to look at it. And Jalen Walker is another name that the majority, not all, but the majority of teams would have kind of up in that range. And again, with Cam Ward mixed in. And we all know Cam Ward's going number one overall. So those are seven names, right? Where it gets fascinating this year is that, and I've talked to a lot of different people in the league. Some people say it's like it starts at eight. Some people say it's like 11 or 12. But whatever that number is, let's call it 11. From like 11 to 33 or 34, there's not that big of a gap. Like in my 100 scale, I've got all of those guys from about 11 to 35. And my just looking at my board now, all have 91s, 90s, and 89s. So it's like all real tight in that group. So you're looking at a bunch of guys you expect to be starters, really good players, but not, you know, come in massive difference makers, Pro Bowl type players right away, and some will and some won't, but that's kind of the range that all of those guys are in. So what's interesting to me is, will there be a team that's trying to target one of those players that I just mentioned, one of those seven guys, knowing that Cam Ward's going number one and Travis Hunter's probably going to go number two? So that limits that group down to five names. And if it's not there, I just can't imagine in a draft where with NIL, the COVID hangover year, and transfer portal, like there are so many more players, I think, that are experienced players coming in the draft in that like late second, third, fourth round range. Why would you want to give away other opportunities to take a hack at a potential starter or sub-package player to move up to get the same range of guys somewhere in that 11 to 30 range?
Right. Todd McShay with us. Todd, before we ask you about a few specific players that could be in play for the Eagles have had a lot of success in the draft the last two, 3 years. When you look at that, I guess the question is there a point at which there has to be some luck involved in hitting at a high rate and that luck sort of wears off? Or do you look at a team that has been consistently successful in the last few years and say, no, they've just gotten really good at it?
Well, when you're picking late in the first, which the Eagles have been for you know, a while now, the vast majority of years, right? What tends to happen, you see teams that are consistently up, like sitting in the back of the first round. The Baltimore Ravens come to mind, right? Like the Green Bay Packers and some other organizations. So when you look at those organizations, the ones that are winning and in the playoffs, so they're picking late in the first, and also their general manager and their personnel department, they have patience on draft night, and they're much more interested in maybe moving back than they are racing up to go get a player. And we're speaking generalities, but typically those organizations find that because so many teams are crazy about quarterbacks and are doing their best to find their guy, and if you're in the playoffs, you typically have your quarterback. So there's teams moving up or overdrafting quarterbacks. Then the offensive tackle run always, you know, it doesn't last as long as people want, as teams want it to, and so teams get eager and move up for those guys. And so what happens is, really good football players at other positions, and even especially the defensive linemen and defensive players, typically wind up falling. And you get a player at 27 or 31 or 32 that probably belongs in the top 22 to 25 picks. So that increases your odds. And I think Howie's done a really good job with that. What Howie does is different than some of the other organizations that are consistently picking back there in the bottom of the first. He moves around a lot, and he's smart about it. He's not doing it because he's racing up just to get one player. He'll make a slight move forward and a slight move back, and all along he's kind of like one step ahead in the chess match of acquiring picks, so that when he goes to move up 2, 3, 5 spots or whatever he goes to do, he all of a sudden he's already for the last, not just this draft, but like last year, he's been working towards getting that draft capital to do so. So I think those are a couple of the reasons why we see that. And I think when you're sitting at 32, if they wind up picking there, or if he makes a small move back and then a small move up, you're going to wind up getting a really good football player. And it's going to be, you know, there's going to be teams moving up for quarterbacks that maybe don't belong in the top 32, right? And So let's take advantage of that. Maybe move back or just sit there at 32, and there's going to be a player that should have gone 4, 5, 6 picks before it.
Well, that quarterback position, Todd, often causes teams to do things in a desperate situation. Shedeur Sanders is obviously a big topic and a big storyline in this year's draft. Do you see him going in that top three? It looks like the Giants are doing some final homework on him. I think it was a private workout with him today. How likely do you think he goes up that high, or do you think it's just doing their due diligence, I guess, and they're not going to take a quarterback at that number three spot?
Do you ever remember a year where like 4 or 5 quarterbacks have been traveling the country, and then teams, like multiple teams, have been firing up their private jet and taking their whole front office and coaching staff and flying all over the country like this? Like, it's pretty wild, man. Like, the Giants had, it was actually yesterday morning, they had a private workout in Boulder. Then they jumped back on the plane after that, and they head down to Tuscaloosa. And they had a private workout today with Jalen Milroe. Then they jump back on the plane, and they're going to Louisville, Kentucky, for Tyler Shuck. They already last week had a private workout with Jackson Dart. And I'm looking at my calendar, and it's 4:18. We're like, you know, when they're done, there's going to be like 4 days before the draft. So it's, I don't remember a year like this. But to answer your question, I truly believe all this late due diligence that's going on with the Giants and also with Cleveland and some of the stuff you're hearing about with New Orleans, It's for that second tier quarterback market, if you will. Cam Ward's going 1 to Tennessee.
Right. Right.
Travis Hunter's going 2 to Cleveland, as far as all the intel I get. There are some mixed messages out there, and I think it's because the Giants are still trying to figure out, there's kind of a split opinion inside the building on Shedeur Sanders. But my understanding is it's much more likely that split decision is on, hey, how far do we want to go trade up with that 34th pick back into the first round to get him? It's not at number 3. And so my belief as of this moment is that Abdul Carter is going to be the pick 3. And then the most interesting pick in the draft then becomes number 9. And it was, but then it got really ratcheted up when the Derek Carr shoulder information came out recently. So, and if New Orleans passes on Shedeur, and I don't think Kellen Moore, who spent time obviously in Philly as the offensive coordinator with Jalen Hurts and spent time with Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert as offensive coordinator all 3 spots, he's used to and wants a quarterback, sturdy build, stronger arm, mobility. That's Jackson Dart. That's not Shedeur Sanders. So there's a really good chance, unless a team trades up in the top 10 for Shedeur, that we get to the 10th pick. Shador's sitting there. Everyone knows that he'll fall to 21 to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh will take him. So then the clock starts ticking. It's Cleveland at 33, Giants at 34, and I don't think New Orleans at 40 because they already passed on him, and I don't think he's the guy for the reasons I just gave you.
Yeah.
So at that point, it becomes fascinating. Cleveland, the Giants, trying to kind of jockey for position to get somewhere in the teens to take Shedeur ahead of Pittsburgh at 21.
Yeah, I actually like the dark kid more than I do Shedeur Sanders. He looks like a more natural thrower from the pocket. His athleticism is underrated, so he's a better athlete than most people would necessarily view him as. I like the kid out of Ole Miss.
I really like him. Yeah. on I really. Lane Kiffin helped him a lot with like predetermined and very, not a lot of concepts, but they run the stale route to the left side. They'll run it 3-4 times a game. So like, when you watch his tape, you can see that he's going to need probably a year to develop the understanding and do some of the things at the line of scrimmage pre and post snap that you need to do. But you go, I've watched 161 snaps of him versus pressure this year. When I tell you it was so far superior to all the other quarterbacks in this class, it was enlightening, to say the least. So there's a lot to work with there. Now, for a guy like Kellen Moore in New Orleans, it makes a lot of sense. But I like Stefanski with Cleveland, I think you look at Kirk Cousins and some of the quarterbacks that he's won 10 and 11 games with, they're not the biggest guys, don't have the biggest arms, aren't the most mobile, but they're fast processors. They're brilliant in the pocket with their accuracy and timing and anticipation and all those things, and that's what Shador is. So I agree. Like, I've got the same grade on both of these guys. Dart, to me, fits for, like, more places in the league because he has those traits. Shador, in the right system, used properly, can have a really, really good career. But I think he's a little bit more system-limited, if you will.
Todd McShay with us. You can check out the Todd McShay Show on YouTube, Spotify, and subscribe to the McShay Report. Todd, is it okay if I just give you a few guys we've been talking about and you give us your top-line thoughts on them for the Eagles? All right. Malachi Starks.
I like Malachi Starks. You know, it was difficult to watch as Nick Emenwori, the safety, trots out there at the combine and, you know, in his workout gear at 6'3", 220 pounds with 32.5-inch arm length, running a 4.38 40 and breaking the combine broad jump record by 4 inches and the best vertical jump ever by a player at the combine over 200 pounds. And then you watch Malachi Starks and it's like, there's a difference here. You know, he ran a 4.5 40. 7.263 cone was the slowest. The short shuttle was the slowest. Like, the vertical jump was the third worst. And then so you have to go back and you put on the tape again, and you're reminded he's just a better football player.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he's smooth. You know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, worried there for a minute.
No, I know, but that's what happens. You leave Indianapolis, and you're like, Emenwori, there's no way he gets out of the top 15. And, like, I guess I've got to bump him up. And then you come back, and one of the first things I did, like, I need to go back and really watch your tape. And I was like, all right, calm down, Todd. You know, like, let's look at how smooth this guy in his pedal, how great he is reacting, how much ground he covers, how much of the game it just comes second nature to him. Then I go into my notes from the Kirby Smart stuff and coaches around there and scouts I've talked to about how he's like one of those force multipliers. He's going to change. He's going to come in and become a leader in your defense, and you can trust this guy. He's durable, SEC, like all. So I like Malachi Starks a lot. And if he gets down into the 20s or all the way to 32, it's because those workout numbers work great. But a team's going to get a damn good football player wherever they take him in the first round.
How about Mike Green?
Mike Green's tape is a lot of fun to watch. And he was awesome at the Senior Bowl. You look at his frame and you think to yourself, I wonder if he can, you know, convert speed to power. Is that going to work? Because in the NFL, the vast majority of the guys that are successful have a power element to their game as edge rushers, right? And to see his power, like when that viral clip against Connerly, the tackle from Oregon who could be a late first round pick, just plowing him. And then you turn on the tape and he's doing the same thing over and over again. He's just got an aggressive, he's like a street fighter versus the run. Violent, sudden hands. And you start to see the traits match up. He's coming from Marshall. He had like a blistering fast three cone time of 6.85, which stacks up with some elite guys. I think he's going to be a really good pass rusher. It's kind of that like wide 7, wide 9 off the edge with the speed, but also the power element that you need.
And last one, how about Maxwell Hairston?
Oh, that's my guy. I love Maxwell Hairston. I'm going to put this on the line. And this, I think the first time I don't know if I've said it before or not. I think Maxwell Hairston might be the second most explosive all-around athlete in this class behind Travis Hunter. He can play zone. He can play man. He had a shoulder injury last year. He does have to improve as a tackler. Even before the shoulder injury, like, it's an area he's got to improve. But you see, or he ran a 4.28. And, like, when you get down to 4.28, I actually start to worry the opposite direction. He's the fastest guy at the combine. Is he just a track guy? Like, are we sure? Is it kind of that tight switch? He hasn't had any lower body injury stuff. He was the fastest player, as I said, also at a 39-inch vertical, a 10.9 broad, all in the top three in the cornerbacks, right? Yep. Then you watch him on tape, his eyes are fast in zone, and then he can turn and run in man-to-man. Elite, elite ball skills. He's going to take the ball away for you. 10 pass breakups, 6 interceptions, 3 pick sixes in less than 20 games played. I think he's vastly underrated. I know he's only 5'11 and a quarter and 183. He'll put on a little bit of weight. He'll get a little bit stronger. But he's just electrifying with his feet and change of direction and his speed to cover. I think he's going to be a damn good football player.
Todd, we appreciate all the insight, man. Mm-hmm. You're the best. Todd McShay Show is on YouTube and Spotify. You can subscribe to the McShay Report. We appreciate all your time today, man.
Appreciate it, Todd.
Yeah, of course. Great catching up with you guys.
Thanks, Todd. You know what I love about draft guys, like the real draft guys?
The terms.
Oh, they
man.
Love it.
They love it.
They love it.
They love it. Like his turn on the Malachi Starks thing, yes. It was so dramatic.
Yeah.
He was like, you see all this and blah, blah, blah. But then you look at the tape.
Look at the tape.
And he's a better football player.
Football
player.
Yeah. Hey, turn the tape on. I don't need to know what a guy does in shorts.
Yeah.
And I love the three cone talk.
Yes. Yep.
But it's great, man. It's all part of why the draft is so cool.
That's what made Mayock so good for so many years is like the bend around the edge. They all got their terms. It's so good.
And I'm proud of myself.
About to jump in there.
Well, I was going to do the whole Todd, in case you guys don't know that.
Oh, yeah, with Mel Kiper?
Mel Kiper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hard not to.
I refrained from doing it.
Yep, yep.
Well, I didn't know how he would take it.
Yes. Well, you say he saved it though. Yeah. He saved it, and he liked it. Maxwell Harrison was your guy.
Oh,
right?
He loves my guy. Yeah,
he loves your
that
guy.
That made me feel good.
Yes,
that did. That
I
did
could tell. I could tell. I looked over. All right, 215-592-9494. The rumors are out there that the Eagles would be interested in the number 4 pick if Abdul Carter falls there.
Back to this,
and they may offer AJ Brown. On the record Friday, if it happens, would you be mad or would you understand it? Coming up next, 215-592-9494. We do find out if Ike Reese holds on to the belt for a third consecutive week. Would be the he was the first 2-week holder of the belt. Will he be the first 3-week holder of the belt? We find out next. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big games, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. This is WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. If you didn't know, baseball is back. You can watch all the action at Chickie's and Pete's this season. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com. Thank you to Todd McShay. If you missed Todd McShay on the WIP Afternoon Show, you can use the Odyssey app, use Rewind. We do have our own draft expert, the WIP Afternoon Show, to give his, not yet, relax.
Ah, I know, he is just
relentless. Unbelievable, this
relentless
guy. By the way, while we have Todd McShay on, he's like pointing to his watch and looking at me.
Well,
I was like, I got it.
Yeah, earlier, yeah. I was like, yeah, like, we'll do a live one. Yeah. It'll be fun. He's like, all right, right when I arrive.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the game. Right. Or maybe we could do it Monday.
Like, yeah.
Look at the nerve.
I know. But before that, we have something very important. Every Friday at 4:30 on the WIP Afternoon Show, we announce who has the belt at WIP. Now, the belt goes to the WIP employee who brought it the most that week. And for two straight weeks, Ike won the belt
over
2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And they kept it last week.
Yep.
And the question is, does he keep it for a third week? Fight for the rights of every man. I am the real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life. By the way, how many times do we need to tell Lakin we need an actual belt?
I know. Well, again, we didn't have the Eagles Insider of the Year award until the week of the award.
All right.
So,
well, we started the belt a month and a half ago. So, all right. So Ike is the current belt holder. The question is, does Ike hold on to the belt? Here is the result. This week, the belt changes hands.
Because he usually steps up on Fridays.
The new holder of the belt is Paul Jolovitz. Jollies.
No one's clapping.
No one's clapping.
Please clap.
Ike doesn't even care.
He's nope. Sick.
It's totally unbelievable. Paul Jolovitz comes in and takes the belt from Ike for his basically full show aimed at Daryl Morey. Including line after line after line, crushing Morey. Buzz, let's hear some of the excellent lines from Paul Jolovitz.
Seattle phone book has a man named Dennis Knox in it. Why am I asking you this? Because the trivia question I'm going to ask you, I have three questions. I don't go to the phones. Who is one more in the NBA? Daryl Morey, Sixers general manager, or Dennis Knox of Seattle, Washington? Picked randomly out of the phone book. Randomly. Pick anybody you want, because Daryl Morey has won Squidoosh, always will win Squidoosh.
Wow.
Horrible general manager, nope. Doesn't understand risk-reward.
Horrible.
I would do a better job than he does. I should never, ever say that about a professional general manager in a professional sport.
Do we have another one, Buzz?
The general manager of Niagara Falls wanted the water to keep rolling, and he chose Daryl Morey as his water movement specialist. Niagara Falls would stop tomorrow. There'd be a dam that appeared near the falls. You wouldn't know who built it, how it got done, but Daryl Morey was just a...
The Daryl Morey Dam.
Yeah. Or dam, we got Daryl Morey.
Wow.
Roasted him.
Is there another one, Buzz?
He might be the worst executive in the history of sports, not Philadelphia sports, because of the expectations thing.
Wow. Paul Jolovitz holds the belt at WIP. The question is, will Jolly do enough to keep it, or will someone else do it to steal it away from Jolly? Will Ike become the first two-time holder of the belt?
Well, I should have been the first three-time holder.
Well, will you?
Thought I had a strong week.
Strong Friday.
Strong Friday.
Excuse me?
Well...
Well, I'm just saying, I thought I had a strong week.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
The show was strong.
Jolly, though, we're gonna need Angelina.
Yep.
And the people monitoring the show to make sure that he stays on top of his game. Most likely will not be listening. Anyone from this show.
Not even on this weekend.
He's not on this weekend?
No.
Well, he could keep it on Twitter video.
Yeah.
Twitter video.
I'm sure that would go well. That's where he puts all his picks.
Yes.
He tweeted about the BYU pick six times.
Yep. He's hot as fire. All right. Before we get to the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report, we do have our own draft expert.
Come on.
It's like he wants his own intro music.
Now he's walking. The guy's been waiting for 25 minutes right out here. He's walking as slow as he can.
Kind of looks like kind of Patrick the Starfish.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Andrew, the official draft analyst of the WIP Afternoon Show. Hi, okay.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What it do?
Say your thing.
What it do, Andrew?
What it do, Andrew?
Hey, man.
This might backfire.
Yep.
We got a guy, all right? The Eagles are making a splash in this draft, and it's going to come on the D-line. We're taking a defensive tackle out of Michigan, and no, not Mason Grant, but his counterpart, Kenneth Grant. A guy out of Michigan, 6'4", 331. And let me just tell you, we're getting freaky.
Wow.
Whoa.
Getting freaky.
We're getting freaky. This guy's a freak. He clocked a sub-540 at 360 pounds. He had 50 pressures and 8 sacks in 2 years. And guess what? He can get up. He's got 10 passes defended. Second all-team Big Ten. He's sneaky athletic, man. You watch that Penn State tape of him chasing down Catron Allen. He's able to maintain his run gaps and be ferocious on that D-line.
Aww.
There is no offensive lineman that wants to block him one-on-one. He's going to terrorize him. He eats up blocks, creates one-on-ones for other D-linemen. He's ferocious, kind of like Vita Vea.
Wow.
So I think he's a great guy, either round one or round two, depending where he falls. And I think he's a great fit for our defense.
Wow.
Voice crack. Uh-oh. Not a big game player.
Wow, not
there.
A red lightsman.
Nope.
Hey, guess what? We're going to finish, though, because he's going to fit really nice next to Jalen Carter when we win the Super Bowl next year. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, you're feeling soupy?
I'm feeling soupy. I said 2 and 3 years, and guess what? Yep. It's going to happen.
So they're getting Vita Vea with the 32nd pick?
Better than Vita Vea.
Wow.
Whoa.
Big comps only on this show.
All right. Well done, okay,
good
Andrew.
Good job, Andrew.
Hey, appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
There he is. Okay, Andrew. I got to give him credit. Aside from the voice cracking like a teenager, he pulled it off.
That's what we want to hear.
He pulled it off.
That's what we want to hear.
He pulled it off.
Now, who is better, McShay or okay, Andrew?
Oh, okay, Andrew is better than McShay.
All day.
I love him. And by the way, he stepped up here as a backward hatsman.
Well, he's young, though.
Right.
That'll change.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. If the Eagles traded A.J. Brown for a top 4 pick, would you be mad or would you understand? 77.3% say they would be mad.
Do me a favor. You know I don't normally do this, right?
Yeah.
The clip we played earlier with the guys from Boston.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
Or whatever. Can we replay that?
No. Uh-oh. We wouldn't want to have Buzz scrambling back there.
Well, here's the thing. I want people to realize that we as a show or as a station aren't making up anything.
Oh, of course not. We didn't even think of it. Yeah.
So I want people to actually hear the report coming from someone else, and we're reacting to it. Because some people out there just read Twitter and don't actually listen to the show.
Yep.
Les Bowen. So you can actually hear the cut for yourself.
Wait a minute. Les Bowen is whining about
yes.
it?
Yes.
Oh.
He made the mistake of tweeting at me.
All right.
Yeah, well, that's the mistake he made there, Les.
Les, grow up.
Yes.
All right. Buzz, do you have it?
Earlier today, a little birdie with some really good intelligence, a well-sourced phone call, came to me to offer this possible scenario. If somebody that we wanted the Patriots to select very badly, Abdul Carter, were to fall to fourth, and I know this scenario is slightly unlikely, if he were to fall at fourth overall, how would you feel about a certain team that recently won the Super Bowl calling up your New England Patriots in desperation and want of Abdul Carter and offering a certain wide receiver who has admitted that he loves New England and would love to play for the Patriots and possibly more selections in a blockbuster draft day trade? That's right. I got a call earlier today saying that the Philadelphia Eagles really, really, really want Abdul Carter and that they would consider, or rather are planning, to call your New England Patriots on draft day if Carter falls to four to see if Mike Vrabel would like a reunion with A.J. Brown and possibly more draft selections and compensation to come.
By the way, this the day after Howard Eskin reported that the Eagles had explored a top 10 trade for A.J. Brown. And you can say what you want about, first of all, Howard is informed on Eagle stuff, and you can say what you want about the other guy, but like, what we do is react to the news that people talk about.
Yes.
And Les and other people like Les can sit on Twitter and whine about it, that it is like childlike or it's dumb or blah 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 blah. This is what we do. This is what makes it interesting, and that is why it is a topic of conversation. You can cry on Twitter because no one is listening to what you say anymore, or you can do a little bit of Googling before you start whining that we're making things up and we're talking about dumb things and blah, 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 blah. So there.
All right.
We didn't make up anything.
Yes.
We're just following what other people said.
And just talking about it on a Friday.
And by the way, not just following about what some guy tweeted that we don't even know. Like, these are two sources that are major media sources that we reacted to. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
No.
Because I normally don't react to something like that. But you don't quote tweeted me, Les.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get out of here. High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report, right after we tell you about how to make yourself a we're high performers here.
Oh, here we go.
You know, you want to be a high performer when you're making love.
There it is.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. It's cool. We're not, none of us are what we were, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It's okay.
Well, 10, 15 years ago, I was in high school.
Well, not what you were. I think that's fair to say for you as well.
Okay.
In more respect than one.
Yeah.
Blue Chew is the way that you solve this. It solves a problem for you. It solves a problem for you. It solves a problem for the lady who you're trying to please. It solves a problem. It's all online.
Yeah.
Look, this is true.
Yeah.
It's all online. You don't have to worry about stupid doctor's visits because they have medical professionals online to meet with you. You don't have to worry about stupid trips to the pharmacy. You don't have to. It's a chewable, so you don't have to worry about a stupid glass of water. No. All you worry about is being a hero in the bedroom, for Christ's sake. You know? That's all you got to worry about. You go to BlueChew.com. You take care of all of this. And you get the first month for free because of the WIP Afternoon Show.
That's what we do. We're looking out for our peoples.
We called our friends at BlueChew. We were like, how about we pay for their first month?
Yep.
So that's what we're doing. You go to BlueChew.com.
Incentivized.
Just try it.
Are you yelling at people?
Yeah. You just use code 94. You get your first month for free. All you do is you pay for the shipping. And then once you move past that, it's all made and shipped here in the United States, so it's cheaper. It all comes right into your mailbox, so you don't have to worry about going to the pharmacy. It's great. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Staxin, Levitra, Cialis. Just go to BlueChew.com, use code 94. Your first month is free, and then you can. And then
chew
you
it.
Can.
You want to give me a pregnant pause in there?
Sorry.
Chew it and do it.
Maybe send less one of those packages.
I was going to make the same joke.
Yeah. Let's talk a little Phils. We haven't done it all day.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
All right, some quick news and notes to get out of the way early here.
Some notes.
Notes.
Some notes.
Marsh is still out of the lineup, even though there's a righty on the mound tonight.
Is that Phantom Jack, or is it really his name?
I know. Well, so Marsh is not in the lineup, but Castellanos, even though he was removed from the game yesterday a little bit early.
Had a hip thing.
He is back in there, so the Ripken streak continues.
There you go.
We are taking down Cal Ripken's record one day at a time. So Marsh out of the lineup, Castellanos in the lineup. Bryson Stott is in the leadoff spot again. Andrew Painter is pitching in Clearwater tonight, even more exciting. So a lot of fun stuff is there as well. Justin Crawford went 4-for-5 up at Lehigh Valley yesterday.
He hadn't hit too well recently.
He had,
right?
He had a cold streak.
Yeah.
Now three of the hits were infield hits, and one was a bunt. And then he flipped one into the outfield his last at bat, so he's heating up. But I know people are all Justin Crawford up, and I think it's an interesting option if the outfielders keep getting hurt here, or hurt and are also not producing.
Well, yeah. Though, yeah, he's a Triple A, and you would think you kind of want him to smoke Triple A.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like if you're bringing him up,
you don't want him struggling. Then.
Yeah, and you want him to bring a, like, you want to feel confident. You don't know that he's going to succeed here, but what you don't want to do is bring a guy up and have him hit a .189 to replace another guy who's hitting 100 and another guy who can't. You know what I mean?
You don't want to come up and fail, and then,
yes,
then that kind of messes with his, well, may mess with his psyche.
Especially because what people will. It's not like there's a ton of prospects up here.
Sure.
Where you could just throw him in there and he's just one of many. People will be looking for him to succeed.
People are going to view him as the savior. He's not. I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah,
I don't
but
think
not
he's
yet.
Like a savior.
Right.
Savior type.
Right.
But I think at worst, he would provide a spark. He gets on the bases. He makes things happen. He laid it on a bunt last night and beat it out. And I think, like, with Marsh, he's 0 for April. We know that. Johan Rojas, you know, for such a great tracker of the baseball, it's just not a good defense. Like, overall defense, right, his arm is weak, all that stuff, and the plate does nothing. At worst case, I think Crawford comes up and puts the bat on the baseball. It's not always going to be home runs, impactful, but he won't strike out, I believe, at the same clip.
So you're in favor of this?
Well, I think this team needs a spark. You know, I've been on that track for a little while now because they look dead. Like, they look like they're almost have a malaise out there at the start of the season, which is annoying because the hope was if you bring everyone back, they're going to be pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't exactly look pissed off.
Well, here's the thing. And listen, I'd be excited to see the kid, but there's a difference between having an initial sort of jolt where the fan base is excited that the young kid is up. He still has to produce. So I don't know what that does for the other players on the team if he's not coming up and at least hitting the ball well, playing good defense,
mm-hmm,
right? If he's doing the same thing.
But I guess my pushback with the players would be, well, look at the other center field production. It's not like you're getting anything out of that position.
I hear you. I hear you. My only thing is, and you would know this, you're a clubhouse guy.
Oh,
no
yeah.
offense, Mike. they love Brandon Marsh, right?
They do.
So you're bringing up an unproven guy.
Would they look at him a little
sideways? So I just wonder. Yeah, I just wonder what would that do. And now, at the trade deadline, I think.
Yeah, he's probably closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't know about now. Although, I'd be excited, but I don't know how long that excitement would last if he's not producing.
And he's not ripping the cover off the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's Rinconis has probably produced more. A guy named Otto Kemp. He actually started in left field for the first time.
Otto Kemp?
Yeah, he started in left field.
It's a good name.
He never started in the outfield ever. All of a sudden, he's playing left field last night. I think that's notable. And it's also notable, Crawford had only played out left field 4 times in his entire minor league career. He has now started there 2 out of the last 3 games. He's starting there tonight up at Lehigh Valley. So
is the idea to move Kepler to center?
So that's what I was going to bring up. Kepler's career has played over 1,100 innings in center field. Now, that was in more 2018, 2019, you know, before COVID. But I think at worst, he could stand there and could catch the balls at him. I don't think he's going to make diving catches in the outfield, but I don't know. I think that there could be a move from that standpoint of looking to get someone up to play left field and then Kepler take down some time in center field. So we always like to check in. There's been some meltdowns or some questioning already about Juan Soto and the Mets. I don't think he exactly helped himself by saying that he missed having Aaron Judge hitting behind him.
Yeah.
It called him the best hitter in baseball. I'm sure that $750 million. I'm sure Steve Cohen was thrilled to say.
Yeah. I'm sure Pete Alonso, who has hit 350 this year behind Juan Soto, was thrilled to hear it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, like he misses Judge. So,
and they gave you a suite.
And yeah. They gave him a suite. He could have just stayed with Judge for $5 million less. I mean, what are we talking about here? Either way, Spike's old co-worker up at WFAN, Sal Licata.
You'll love this, Ike.
Lost, oh, I heard it.
Lost his mind on, yeah, on Juan Soto. Here he is.
I love Sal.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
quite the rant.
And listen, it's early, too.
Yep.
And his point is he wants Soto to come up with a hit in a big situation.
Right.
Not – like, he doesn't care about the on-base percentage,
right,
the fact that
saying.
You're walking and all of that stuff.
Yeah, because I'm sure the other Mets fans, because there's a divide with Mets fans now, the other Mets fans will go, his on-base percentage is
like
413.
Four something, yeah.
He's like, I don't care.
Yeah. And I would agree with that.
Yeah, of
we're,
course.
We're not paying you for your OBP, man.
Yep.
I know. And he's the one with the price tag that's going to always be around.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. It's pretty outlandish. Yeah. And then last thing here, we are monitoring –
uh-oh.
The Jordan Romano possible move to the closer role with Alvarado. Started looking a little
shaky.
Dicey.
A little shaky.
Yeah, little dicey.
Last few outings.
Yeah.
I said to Jack today, I was like,
it's so week to week with these relievers, man.
It is.
Well, Alvarado
was cooked 2 Mondays, or Romano was cooked 2 Mondays right. ago. Now yep. he's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well.
He made a mechanical change, Spike. You love those.
Well, by the way, Alvarado. Well, no. Somebody mentioned to me on Twitter that his – like where he was, his arm slot, I
who,
guess.
Alvarado or Romano?
Romano.
Well, they changed his leg kick.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, the velocity is back up.
Oh.
And Alvarado, like, I understand he's going to be a guy that that will make a sweat every mm-hmm. once in a while. But you can't make a sweat and get hit hard all over the place, too. There's one thing to walk guys, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But he hasn't looked... I'm okay with a little bit of nervousness with a closer, but Alvarado has looked shaky the last few times.
Can I ask a quick question?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He changed his leg kick?
Romano did, yeah.
Yeah. Did they not notice this in the spring?
Well, it was like that in the spring. He got away from it, and they got him back to where he was in the spring. That's the...
The spring just... It was 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean to tell you? Well, I think he changed it because he's trying to find more velocity, and the idea is the higher you raise your leg, the more velocity you get, but... I think that also screwed with his command, so I think they wanted to tone it back down, and they also may have found something with the arm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, it was much lower in spring training.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, there's a lot going on with a windup.
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, mechanically, I guess you
can. I mean, you broke it down for us.
Well, yeah. Listen. They say that a pitcher always has to repeat his mechanics. If he can't repeat his mechanics, he's not going to throw strikes.
Is that what happened to you?
No, I found Keystone Light and lost my cutter.
Okay. Jack, what's coming up at the top 5 and 5?
It's an on-the-record Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go on the record with 5 things.
Wow, just on the record.
Yeah. Like
oh,
I got some things I got to get off my chest.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That is coming up next. It is on the record Friday, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Builders, designers, contractors. I know you're working
and
hard
Spike.
Out there.
And Spike.
And Spike.
Yep.
And mostly...